Hey everybody, welcome back to the Multiusiverse podcast. I'm your host, Gar Punnett. It's rare that a guest will actually not only inform the audience, but change the actual show structure. Here at the Multiusiverse podcast, we're all about informing what the path is towards circularity. And I think this was now informed now by Bergen, who we just had on as a guest, and who made it pretty clear that the future actually for us is not really understanding what's the past in terms of recycling or what the future looks like in terms of complete circularity, but it's the path on how we get there. And that's going to be really the next focus for most of our episodes going forward, is connecting the dots and creating that path. Enjoy Bergen's episode. She's the manager for the Built Environment of Americas for Cradle to Cradle Product Innovations Institute. She was amazing. Again, I don't think we have a bad guest in the bunch ever. They're always informative and entertaining. Please let me know. Look forward to hearing your comments. Enjoy. Thank you for joining us, Bergen. We've got Bergen Hubert on today. She is the manager of the built environment for the Americas at Cradle to Cradle Product Innovations Institute. Thank you so much for joining.
Hey, thanks for having me. Long time coming. I know that we had to pause for the holidays, take a little bit of a breather, but I'm happy to be on and ringing in 2022 with you, Gar.
Well, it was worth the wait. We're going to start off just kicking this right into, do you have a favorite Cradle to Cradle certified product or project that you've worked on so far? And then we can sort of then dive into what that has meant and why that's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. This is not a plug, I swear. I'm actually drinking from it right now. This is the Dopper water bottle. For those of you tuning into the video, you can see it here. I think that, you know, we take for granted the reusable water bottle. I feel like it was like the first circular, you know, venture where we were like, oh my gosh, these plastic water bottles, we have to come up with a reusable bottle. But you know, I think foundational to our certification, we kind of went backwards, right? We were saying, okay, great, the reusable water bottle, but is it made of safe materials? Is it made responsibly? So I think it's such a like flagship and crowning example of the Cradle to Cradle certified, you know, model in practice. So I have to be biased, and I love the Dopper water bottle, and hopefully we can send you some links to that. But, you know, as you mentioned, I specifically work in the built environment space. So, you know, I don't get to work on lovely projects like the Dopper water bottle. We also, you know, certify, gosh, L'Oreal Cosmetics, and a wide range of consumer products like Blue Land cleaning supplies, which some of fantastic. You may be familiar with. Yeah, I actually have my set here. But, you know, I work in, you know, kind of more of the commercial building space, anything that goes into a building. So flooring, furniture,
so
paint,
super sexy ceiling tiles, like
super sexy acoustic yes. paneling. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people would think it's sexy, and a lot of people do. Thank God for building designers, who can see the potential there. So, yeah, I think that there is a lot of excitement in the building supply world and so much impact. I think that's what the sexy part of, you know, my job and the projects I work on is that the built environment space is just, you know, responsible for so much, you know, material use, waste, unfortunately, and environmental impact. So I think the sexy part is the fact that I do get to have such a great impact, you know, on the world we live in today.
I love that. What makes something, like, how do you guys start the deep dive into a product? And what does that sort of take? And I was reading that it intensive was used in terms of terminology, but I'm sure there's a way that you all make this a little less intimidating as you start unpacking what goes into materials.
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think that we used to joke, I used to work for one of our assessors. So we're a third party certification that goes through, you know, a group of trained consultants or material specialists who then send it to the Institute for final approval and making sure that it meets the standard criteria. when I used to work at one of those firms, we used to joke that Cradle to Cradle was the Cadillac of certifications. So maybe those of you in the US listening will kind of understand that reference, that it's kind of the creme de la creme. Maybe, you know, some people can't afford it or achieve it. And I think that we started to unpack and kind of debunk that, you know, misnomer over time. But, you know, in some ways it still is the Cadillac of certification, where, you know, it is multi-attribute. I think that it covers all aspects of sustainable manufacturing and design, which that includes material health. So that's all of the materials, the constituents, the chemistries, the, you know, polymers, the homogeneous materials like wood or plastic, everything that goes into making the water bottle or the carpet tile, making sure that it's fundamentally safe for humans and the environment. So that's the first attribute. The second is product circularity, which I think we'll probably spend a lot of our time talking about today. That means, is it, you know, designed for its next use phase? Is it recyclable, compostable? Can it be refurbished or remanufactured? That's the second attribute. And then the other three are kind of about, you know, how the product is made. Is it done responsibly? Is it done, you know, using renewable energy? Is it done using, you know, clean air and climate protection? So it's clean air, climate protection, water and soil stewardship, and social fairness, which also includes social equity and responsible manufacturing practices. So very holistic. So back to that kind of creme de la creme certification, covering all attributes of sustainability. But what we do is we look at all of those attributes from a, you know, holistic, no trade-offs perspective, that all of it is intertwined. And you kind of asked me how we do that. We work again with those trained consultants, and we establish kind of the rules behind it. So,
no, that's I love sort of the peek behind a little bit on the curtain on that. I think what's really interesting to hear you talk about is the perception that you all had a little bit. I wouldn't necessarily share that. I think, cost is so much of a factor of what goes into making sure that this is properly certified. Without proper certification, you get greenwashing. You get sort of a destructive marketing cycle. Why is it? I mean, why is that so important? Or think, or how do you guys maintain the standard? I mean, because that's really what it's about, is maintaining the standard, maintaining the bar. Because as soon as you start decreasing the bar a little bit, we get back to right where we're, the problem that we're in. So, I mean, can you talk a little bit about how you all maybe address that with clients who might have sticker shock, or address that with organizations? I mean, how have you all maintained that, hey, this is necessary because this is what we're fighting against?
Yeah, great point, Gar. I think that, you know, it is an investment, right, in the sense where we hope that it does affect the triple bottom line, in the sense where, you know, you do discover, you know, manufacturing efficiencies, less waste, you know, also that social impact and that environmental impact. You know, what are you having? You know, are you having a positive impact on the world and not a negative one? Can you put a price tag on that? So absolutely all fair points. And, you know, we are also a tiered approach. So we're a continuous improvement model, which I think is absolutely necessary in all aspects of what we're trying to achieve here, across all sectors, across all aspects of sustainability. We have to have kind of these incremental benchmarking model to get us to where we need to be. So, you know, for example, in all five of those categories I described, you can achieve bronze through platinum level certification, where you can prioritize, you can kind of, you know, meet the market where it currently is. You know, if innovation needs to happen in material health, product circularity, clean air, climate protection, social fairness, you can take the time to do that, while kind of establishing kind of these benchmark goals over time. So I think that the way, you know, that is set up also kind of, you know, incentivizes continuous improvement, but allows for the necessary time and investment it takes to reach those its goals. So I think that that model should be applied in many, and it, I think it is in a lot of different ways in sustainable, not just product design, for example, but I think the way that we're looking at, you know, climate change and the way we're establishing kind of these incremental goals, you know, zero by 2020, for example, how can we, you know, successfully achieve that over time? You know, some would argue we're not doing it fast enough, but I think, again, you mentioned kind of the rigor of our standard. I think that we have set very rigorous goals, and we do believe that, you know, it is a leadership standard. It, you know, and again, getting back to the Cadillac analysis, I think, or analogy, I think that, you know, it, that also is where that's coming from. It really is a leadership standard.
Yeah, I so track with, I think, what you mentioned too earlier in that, which is once you start to really dive into the almost the life cycle, the product analysis, really thinking through the material composition of a product, you start to see other parts of the business or other parts of the manufacturing that maybe had kind of been hidden for a while. And I so track with that because we've found that too at Reaply, where we go in for one thing and then discover, oh, there's a whole nother opportunity. Once you start to really think your circularity, rethink how you're actually your mm-hmm. linear operations work, that there's some magic in that where it's, you know, you don't necessarily see it until it's, you know, it's right in front of you, or someone like Cradle to Cradle or maybe even Reaply actually sees two different dots that mm-hmm. haven't been connected at an organization and say, hey, have you all ever thought about this? And then all of a sudden now there's a new learning and some new efficiency at an organization. And that's really what circularity can bring.
Absolutely. It's the interconnectivity of these different attributes. And it could be applied, like you said, with kind of holistic sustainable design, but also just at like an organizational level, right? That HR isn't talking to design, or design isn't talking to manufacturing, or, you know, it really, in something like the Cradle to Cradle, you know, certification framework, it really does, you know, force the hand, for a lack of better words, you know, for those, you know, organizations internally to talk to one another, to really look at this problem holistically. And that also includes, you know, I think your background and my background in that, you know, I studied environmental science, and I'm learning more than ever about marketing communications than I ever thought I would ever have to. And, you know, I know some of your background, you know, too, Gar, and to think that, you know, sustainability is such a interdisciplinary, you know, venture. And I think circularity is just even more so, right? That, you know, even logistics, I could keep going on all these different facets, right?
The success of it only comes from being more collaborative and learning more from other people getting in the conversation. And that's almost the coolest part, is that has put me in contact with you and with others in our industry, where it's, we're all trying to figure this out, and we're all very collaborative, I think, in terms of an industry on, hey, what's been working? How isn't this working for you? Or what's the next sort of thing that we all should think about? In terms of sort of you all setting those standards, you mentioned that you're sort of always on the forefront of being more rigorous. What does that mean to update Cradle to Cradle? I saw that you all came out with 4.0 for, somewhat recently. What does that mean? What goes into either deciding, hey, 3.0 is not good enough? Or what does it mean then to really start to unpack even 3.0 and make a 4.0?
Yeah, great segue from collaboration to, you know, updating a cross-sector, you know, product certification standard. I mean, Cradle to Cradle certified, the idea is that it is one standard for all products and materials. So that, again,
that's not easy at all. That's
not easy. And I think, you know, there are other, you know, like standards in, you know, in specific industries, fashion and textiles, or, you know, personal care and beauty, or the built environment, for example. So, you know, we felt that they're, you know, going back to those original Cradle to Cradle design principles and the philosophy that, you know, we should be able to design everything with nature in mind, that everything is a resource for something else, that we can, you know, still kind of mimic the diversity of, you know, the natural world, and that things can be reintroduced back into whether they're technical or biological cycles. So to your original question, you know, what is it like to update a standard? So, within our organization, we kind of have, you know, two kind of expert teams. One is the certification team and one is kind of this market transformation or, you know, engagement team. And it takes both, right? You have to listen to the market. Where are we currently in these innovations, right? Yes, it's a leadership standard, but it has to be feasible and achievable, right? We want to, you know, set the goalpost far and wide, but it has to be attainable, right? So in that update process, all of that was considered from a market perspective, but man, the technical part, I luckily don't sit on that team much anymore. I did, you know, it, when I was at an assessor, but it is a, you know, multi-stakeholder, you know, approach where, you know, we have multiple public comment periods, we have standard steering committees. It took about 4.5 to 5 years in total to make us, you know, really the standard for the future. That was really what we wanted. We wanted this 4.0 to, you know, stand the test of time and, you know, we can, you know, iterate, you know, as necessary, but it really, really needed to take us to a circular future. And so we really were careful about, you know, that process and being very, very collaborative. And now you have the version 4.0 standard. So,
What does it take then to probably source input from enterprise manufacturers, people that have a unfortunately and fortunately a vested interest in slow change or no change at all, or who might be open to, again, just that incremental change where it's understanding that, okay, in order to reach our consumers in 2030, we need to get to this type of zero waste goal, cradle to cradle. Like, how is that? What was that in terms of sourcing, and what is that like to work with organizations?
Yeah, I think that we are very lucky that the community of Cradle to Cradle is, you know, also kind of leading in, right, you know, kind of, you know, taking it to the next step. We have manufacturers who have been on board for, you know, 15 plus years, who have, you know, really embedded this into every part of their design, manufacture, business, where it's not a tough sell, right? They're on that journey with us. And, you know, luckily they, you know, have some industry, you know, influence. And I think that, you know, it is kind of a names game. We know this, Gar, where if, you know, if so-and-so is doing it, then so-and-so is going to do it. So, you know, we are lucky that we have some really, really influential and key partners who have signed on to this philosophy in the very beginning. And I want to thank them if they're listening and they know who they are. And I think we're looking for those next, you know, really influential companies to join us, right? And I think version 4 is that opportunity. And, you know, I think that, I think with anything in sustainability, and you know, I have to say, you know, COVID was a big accelerator for this. I think it was a big wake-up call for a lot of industries that said, you know, we're working towards it. And maybe those benchmarks have changed and those goalposts have come down a little bit. And they're looking for market-tested, you know, frameworks and solutions to get them, like you said, their customers are saying, but wait a second, are you doing these things now? Do you have goals in place? And I think that's with that pressure, I think with competition, I think with consumer asks, and I think with just, you know, the overall change in perception due to COVID and with the climate urgency, I think now is the time. And it really has been a joy to work with our kind of legacy or, you know, kind of founding, you know, Cradle to Cradle members, but it is accelerating so fast. And in sectors like electronics, you know, automotive, packaging and print is a big one. You know, built environment, you know, speaking about my own sector here, has really also been a leader in this cradle to cradle philosophy. You know, one of our founders is a, you know, well-known American architect, Bill McDonough. And I would say still about 70% of our certifications are within the built environment globally. And, you know, really seeing high acceleration in other categories, which really is exciting. And having those kind of, you know, big players on board is big.
It's to your point on the busy last 2 years. I think it was for us as well, a point where it felt as though a lot of the industries we were working with got to take a breather, take a pause on something. Some influential stakeholder somewhere got more time or got more productive at home and decided, oh, I'm going to take this on and embark on a sort of a new mission. It was really interesting how, you know, I'm very grateful that Reaply in particular has been able to grow in the last 2 years, because it really speaks to, again, this wave that's coming of problem solving and time running out. And I think it's hopefully what that means for is 2022 is going to be even more successful than the past 2 years. What have you seen? You are a often presenting, often leading and guiding. How have you seen the conversation shift? Or at least in some of the metrics that I have anecdotally, is there are questions that I'll get which I haven't gotten before. And it's like, oh, that's really cool. Like, why is this, like, something shifting in just an understanding of a high schooler or understanding of even just an associate? What has that been like? What have you seen anecdotally in terms of the conversation shifting?
Yeah, absolutely. And it kind of, relates back to your, you know, last thought around, I don't think sustainability professionals have gotten a break, which is fantastic. Like, yes. I've seen within, you know, large firms creating new positions, you know, around yes. sustainability, where it's not just, you know, something that the marketing team does on the side.
We had competition for a circular economy specialist. Mind blowing.
I know.
That was fantastic.
It is fantastic. It absolutely is. And I think, you know, back to your question, it's accelerating so fast and it's hard to keep up, right? Gar, people ask me, they come to me and they probably come to you, gosh, what should I be reading? What should I be digesting? And I'm like, you tell me, you are worlds beyond me. It's hard to keep up with, you know, where this movement is taking us. And, you know, the biggest change for me is I'm seeing, just the education gap. Really, it's almost expanding in the middle, right? Where I feel like, you know, most, we're in a bubble, by the way, you and I, Gar, and I think maybe some of the listeners, which I hope we can get outside of the bubble, right?
Try.
You know, I have people in my life who they'll look at me and they'll, you know, pick up something and say, is this recyclable? And I'll be like, no, you can actually look here that, you know, this is a complex assembly. This is made of plastic and glass and rubber. No, you can't just throw it in the recycling bin. I love that you want to recycle it, but you have to disassemble it or you have to see if they'll take it back from you. Like, no, you can't just throw that in the recycling bin. So what I'm getting at here is that you have everybody asking for more, right, than just what is recycling? How do I compost? Should I take a sustainability 101 course in my, you know, university, you know, class or university studies? But now they're asking for somewhere to kind of go next. And I think that, you know, you and I could sit here all day and talk about, you know, kind of the systematic challenges of, you know, taking back resources, or in your case, in Reaply's case, you know, asset management or, you know, waste control. But I think that there is so much in the middle that we need to be talking about. You know, what is a circular product? You know, what is the circular economy? You know, I know about capitalism, but I don't know what is the circular economy. You know, how am I contributing to this extractive economy personally? I think that there you know, when I was little, you know, in my early science classes in elementary school, you know, we learned about, I remember this graphic, and maybe it stuck with me more because I'm an environmentalist, but I remember this heap of trash, right, that stretched all the way to the moon. And it was something about how, you know, really making it personal that when you throw something away, you know, it doesn't just disappear. And we had this mound of trash that reached all the way to the moon or five times around the globe. And that really stuck with me personally. And I think that, you know, as quote unquote experts in the field, let's just call us that, you know, when working in this field for some time, we need to do a better job about talking about some of these solutions and some in a more personal and accountable way. Because I think we did a good job back then, and there's so much that we could do now to get us there. And I think this is with the climate change debate too. I think that, you know, we could do a better, I think climate change needs kind of a PR rework, well, but that's just my opinion.
No, it is interesting on that front. Cause you know, this is probably very topical, but Don't Look Up got so much attention, and it's been sort of a mixed bag of attention, and it's been really interesting. I haven't commented, I haven't done anything, nor do I guess maybe I have a comment, but it's been really interesting to watch, you know, I can think of 10 professionals on LinkedIn right now who I've seen comment on Don't Look Up, or friends who have asked me what I thought of it and how it's satirical around, you know, climate change or lack thereof. And it's been fascinating to see that it's something that hit the mark, and then many people responded negatively saying like, oh, it hit the mark too much, or it didn't hit it enough, or whatever. And it's like, whoa, but do you not understand that a movie was just made about climate change? Like, a movie was just, and that's a win. Like, that in itself is something that was the number one movie on Netflix, and a bunch of stars signed on and millions of people watched it. That's a win. Just, can we just take that victory?
And I think the irony for me, and we can maybe get off this topic, because I agree, I saw it, of course. And, you know, the irony for me is that just what you said, that we're here debating about the success or the tone of the movie. And that's literally what the movie was about, right? That no one's listening to the facts. No one's, the whole point is there is an urgent disaster about to happen. And here we are arguing about, was it satirical? Was it a hit? Was it the right tone? And it's almost comical, right? Yes, yeah. And you know, back to your original question, like, what am I seeing? It's, I see a big gap. I see a big gap. I see people that, still aren't there. And that could be the consumer base, that could be companies, that could be institutions, that could be governments, whatever it is, that are not there. There's hopefully not a lot of those left. And then there's a lot of people in the middle who want to do something, the ones that saw Don't Look Up, that got it, that agree, that went to the climate rally, you know, rallies, or, you know, understand maybe a little bit about some circular solutions, but want to do more. And again, that could be consumers, that could be companies. And I just think that is the real focus here. So, and I hear more and more, what can I do now?
Yeah, it's the day-to-day relevance that I think is going to be that next step, and the bubble expansion of how does this, what can I do in my everyday career, you know, every day, that can help my organization, can help my consumption, whatever it is. Yes, I think that's going to be the key. In 2022, then, what are you going to see? What do you expect? What do you look forward to? We get to do this as the inaugural episode this year after 2022, but it's, you know, what is the look forward for you all?
Yeah, good question. More scope expansion, reaching more people, you know, within our certification. We also look at, you know, manufacturing processes from, you know, social equity, from a human rights perspective within our certification. So ensuring that, you know, there's no child labor, that, you know, people are being paid, you know, fair and equitably. But to that point, I would like to see our certification and sustainable practices and the availability of sustainable and healthy materials be available to everyone, no matter what the circumstance or, you know, where they are in the world or, yeah. So I think that expanding, you know, our certification, for my personal goal is it to reach more people regardless of, you know, social status or where they are in the world. I think that, you know, for a lot of people, people think sustainability is, you know, only for, you know, maybe the rich or the few. And I think that, you know, for the work that, you know, like Reefly is doing and, you know, with our certification, we have the ability to really change supply chains and, you know, manufacturing processes and really also curb, you know, gosh, waste, you know, is disproportionately affects people, yeah. You know, in lower income areas, also exposure to toxic chemicals. And we could, the list goes on and on. It really cascades. So for me, you know, 2022, I have high aspirations to really make sure that we're practicing what we preach in that it is, it's not just for the few, but it's for everyone. You know, we can come up with these frameworks or these organizations and, you know, come up with these initiatives, but how are we going to implement them in the most important places? So that's kind of my personal goal, and where I see 2022 going. What about you? What about Reefly? What is on the docket for, what is kind of like your goal setting for 2022?
I appreciate the question. Yeah, for us, it is about expanding the reach of the product. Very similarly here, we need to do more. We need to be more. We need to ask more questions. We need to learn more. I would say 2022 for us is going to be more of an expansion into materials and asking more questions about the built environment, which will likely put you and I in more conversations, hopefully. But it's for us, it's going to be, you know, every time we talk to an organization, we learn something new. We learn something, mm-hmm. you know, these are complex systems of sort of interconnected individuals as well as entire supply chains. And that's always the bottleneck is learning more. And the more we can get in, the more we can get involved and collaborate, the more sort of the better outcomes we've seen and the more that we've been able to do. And so that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Hmm. Do you know what? This might sound superficial, but I think about this quite a lot. I just wish we would go viral, right? Maybe cradle to cradle. Selfishly, I wish, you know, cradle to cradle certified products would go viral, right? You know, going back to kind of your cultural reference of, you know, the latest Netflix movie, it's just like, I want the right things to become a priority to all of us. And I love that expanding of the bubble that you mentioned, but I wish one of us would go viral, you know, I know that sounds superficial, but we're shooting the right message here. And I think that, you know, if, you know, TikTok can go viral, you know, so can yes. circular products yes. and healthy materials.
If NFTs can take
it for my dad.
Yes. If NFTs can take it, you know, something in there's got to be circularity focused, sustainability focused. Yeah, no, that's
absolutely.
I'm with you 100%. Well, then hopefully to 2022, maybe something like that will take off. Well, Bergen, thank you so much for taking the time today. It has already flown by as I knew it would, and you've been so informative. And thank you so much again for sort of inspiring our audience and informing our audience.
Oh, thanks for having me, Gar. And I hope this is part one of many. And, you know, maybe someday Cradle to Cradle can put out a podcast and you can be our inaugural guest. So
don't
that's also tempt
me.
A goal
yes.
of mine.
Yes. That'd be amazing. excellent. Thanks, Bergen.
Take care. Bye.